Hi, I'm Elise.
I'm Matt, and welcome to Pod Wraiths, a Star Trek Deep Space Nine podcast. If this is your first time joining us, we're two friends watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine and sharing both our deep and irreverent thoughts on our favorite Star Trek series.
This week, we're talking about Season 5, Episode 17, A Simple Investigation, teleplayed by Renee Echeverria and directed by John Kretschmer. A Simple Investigation aired on March 31st, 1997.
This week on Deep Space Nine, Odo falls for a mysterious woman who is targeted for murder.
Murder.
We're going to kill it on this episode of Pod Race.
Intentionally, not accidentally.
We're going to burn some, like, disruptor carpet DNA burns into did you not remember this episode?
I did not remember this episode, except I obviously knew there was an episode where Odo bangs for the first time.
And why did you remember that, Elise?
I remembered that because you cannot go anywhere on the internet. No, I'm just kidding. Because there's a fucking trading card, basically, about Odo's first intimacy that I have seen on the interwebs.
Yeah.
And actually, someone I know through Manu, our friend, does a baseball podcast, and they did an episode about this because it's a trading card, and trading cards are mostly associated with baseball. So they did like an episode on Deep Space Nine on their podcast is called like Batting Around or something like that, and they talked about this episode and the trading card. You should listen to it. It was very entertaining.
Is it like Topps or maybe new? I don't remember who the like card manufacturer was, but yeah, it was like, I remember you get like same things you see like in the grocery store, like baseball cards, like the foil packs, and maybe like Star Trek, like there'd be character ones and like famous moments in Star Trek, and yeah, one of them was Odo topping
Hillary Clinton,
who was his love interest. Yeah,
so just to joke, it was really funny. So in the picture that is on the trading card, which I am looking at right now because I googled it, he is on top of this woman who has, like, kind of a Hillary Clinton profile. I completely admit when you see her face on, she does not look like Hillary Clinton. But I was it you or some, I don't know if it was you or someone else I was joking with, but I was like, this lady looks like.
Was it Anya?
No. This was, like, the other day. It was the other day. But this person I was talking to, I was like, oh, yeah, she looks like Hillary Clinton. And they go, and the whoever it was like, they both kind of do. Because, like, he has that hair.
It was Ryan, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ryan. That was so funny. Yes. I was hysterical. Sorry to Ryan, who I don't think will listen to this, but sorry I didn't remember it was you. Stoner brain. That was so funny. But I did tell him I showed you that conversation. But yeah. So no, I didn't really remember this episode, but I also didn't really love this episode. It kind of felt really early days, Deep Space Nine. But it's also because I've been like super into the Dominion stuff and the Klingons coming on board the station. This just felt like such a break from that I think I was just disappointed because I have been looking forward to getting more into that. And I don't think this episode was good enough to be like, oh, you'll just get a little delayed gratification on your main plot.
It's, you know? I feel that. Like, it definitely wasn't as, like, a mostly, like, episode, not really Monster of the Week, but, like, Monster of the Week type episode versus, like, you know, the, like, lore episodes to, like, use the X-Files parlance. Yeah, it definitely wasn't as strong.
When you said lore, I thought lore. Data's brother.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't as strong as Dr. Bashir, I presume. Like, I get that. But I'm not going to hold that it's like a Monster of the Week episode over like the continuing the Dominion War stuff. And like, totally valid that you want to really get going on it and like, whatever.
Yeah, I realize this is, I think this is a me problem.
I don't think it's a show problem. You're not a problem, Elise. No.
That's not what I meant. I meant, like, this is a problem I have. I don't know that, like, they did it to me. Thank you for telling me I'm not a problem. That was sweet.
I do think I, like, kind of like this episode more than you, just because it's another Odo noir.
Yeah, that's fair.
Odo noir. Anyways, yeah, we'll workshop that.
Yeah. It did invoke like a few movies that we like, which is fun. I don't think it was as good as them, but it reminds me of The Bodyguard, the Kevin Costner, Whitney Houston movie, mixed with the movie Argyle, the Matthew Vaughn film, that I still remain would have been better had it been rated R.
Yeah, and like parts of it were also like, just in kind of some of the tropiness at all, was giving me Clute a little bit there too, the Donald Sutherland, Jane yes. Fonda movie.
Yeah, that movie is on the roommates need to watch list. Yes, I loved Clute. I watched it when you were, the week you were presenting it at that film.
Okay, at the series we did? Yeah. No.
Yeah, there's one of those movies I still haven't watched, but that one was one I did watch, and I'm like excited to watch it again sometime.
Was it Wanda, the one you hadn't seen of the four that we did?
Yeah, it was Wanda.
Yeah, it's the harder one to find of the four.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a couple years ago at my local art house, my friend and I guest curated a series. It was Women After the War. So there were four movies. It was The Apartment, it was Wanda, it was Clute, and then Norma Rae, kind of basically tracking like second wave feminism through the portrayal of like women in those four movies and like the different settings.
I'm going to be honest, I haven't seen Norma Rae either, but like I'm less interested in that. I don't know why.
It's definitely worth seeing. That's Sally Field. I think that's what she won her first Oscar for.
No. I don't, sometimes I like project what I think certain movies are gonna be into like ideas in my head, and like I just don't like it, just was like not of interest, and I don't think that there's like a really good reason why.
No, that's totally fair. Well, it's like I recently watched Philadelphia for the first time on Criterion Channel. And amazing movie. I really enjoyed it. But I'd heard this a couple of years ago that it's not necessarily the movie you assumed it was, like growing up in that ether. And like, yeah, it's a courtroom drama. But like,
a courtroom drama though.
There's other stuff in it too. Like
I feel like there's this one scene where fans probably like courtroom dramas, because courtroom drama is such a staple in Star Trek.
Yeah, totally.
I did see Bruce Springsteen perform that song a couple months ago for the first time since 2016, so that was really fun.
As in, he hadn't performed the song since then, or
this was the first time I had seen him. He had not performed that song since 2016.
Oh, did he say why?
No, I just like looked it up afterwards. It wasn't like he said, I haven't performed this in 8 years. It was just me realizing.
Oh, rad.
Oh, well, I mean, the reason why was I was seeing him in Philadelphia. He likes to switch it up. And so like there's a couple of different songs at different shows.
No, totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. All right, so A Simple Investigation, which I keep wanting to call A Simple Favor, speaking of other movies in my head, was actually inspired by a 1952 film called The Narrow Margin. In that movie, Charles McGraw plays a policeman who's assigned to escort Mary Windsor, another actor, to an important trial where she is the key witness. Over the course of the film, he falls in love with her, even though he knows he shouldn't. Speaking of The Bodyguard, as there can be no future with her. At the end of the film, it turns out Windsor's also a cop and is acting as a decoy for the real witness, who is getting to the trial a completely different way.
Okay. I just need you to know that. So yeah,
you can see the twist
being really
similar to the twist ending here.
This is making me realize that I need to watch The Narrow Margin, because it sounds like a movie I would absolutely love.
Right. And I think that's why, as much as it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. It's like the Odo episodes are very much like, how do I want to phrase this? And like somewhat pejoratively, but not fully pejoratively. It's like they're doing like noir, but a lot of the time it's like community theater noir. Like, by
comparison, community theater, like, please do not at us.
Yeah, but it's just like they have like the tropes and they'll have the twists, but it like doesn't have the same atmosphere. And I think that's what's missing. Like, what I mean, right? But it's like,
yeah, I got you.
Again, I can get into the character drama of it all, right? So,
I will say, and this was part of why it was a bit hard for me to watch some of this, is because Odo is such a private character and has so been like adamantly against coupling, and I don't understanding, you know, why humanoids do these things. Watching him be like intimate with a woman was extremely awkward for me to witness, and I felt like I was watching someone's, like, I felt like too voyeuristic. Like, it felt like icky, and like, I'm not someone that's usually turned off by that kind of thing. I think it just felt like, because I just don't see Odo as sexual, because not because he's a changeling or anything, because of how he has like spoken about romance in the past, even though we obviously know he's like in love with Kira and all of that. But like, it felt like I was like spying on someone in a not sexy way. I respected, because it's a character that I like interact with so often, it felt more like, I felt like I was disrespecting him watching this. I don't know why my brain went there.
So you are the Worf in Ops gossiping of Odo, just uncomfortable and thinking it was unfair. So you're Worf.
No, I would still gossip about it. I just don't want to know the specifics. Please don't compare me with gossip's enemy, Worf.
I also feel like Worf would be a gossip, though. Anyways.
I know. If it was Klingon shit, he would be, like, telling everybody everything, I feel like.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I guess this is, and, you know, this is how we all kind of find out that voyeurism is not in Elise's list of kinks.
That's not even true. Like, it was just because, I think it's because I don't find, like, Odo, like, sexual. Like, if it was, like, Dax, I would have been totally fine with it.
No, and that's, like, interesting. And no, and I even just why, like, you know, again, I was, sorry, just trying to be twee and
making I know you're making a joke.
I want
to differentiate that, like, it's not because of the act, it's because it was Odo. Like, Odo's, like, like, just, you know, I don't know. Sorry.
But, like, sometimes.
To Renee.
Like, R.I.P. No, I just meant because, like, sometimes when it, like, it is, like, so intimate that, like, you feel like you shouldn't be watching, like, that can also, like, in some ways be kind of hot, but I get if, like, you don't view Odo as, like, a sexual being, that, like, yeah, no, totally.
I also, and this is, like, really silly, but, like, I think that for me, not to be, like, too, like, this is how I feel about voyeurism, like, if we were just watching them bang, like, I probably would have been more okay with it than watching them, like, just be in bed and chatting with each other. You know what I mean? And, like, him telling her all of that, like, nice stuff. I just feel like it felt too personal. But, like, if they were just, like, having sex, I think I would have been fine also.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, this episode doesn't really have, like, an A, B plot, but we have, like a side plot that is the Holosuite game. And I think this is just to, like, give characters something else to do during the episode, and to have the funny scene in the middle where Odo, like, goes into the Holosuite game to get advice from Bashir. But I did find this interesting. Bashir wants to play this game, Queen's Gambit, that he's been waiting a copy for. He's been waiting for a copy of it for like 2 months. It's called the Queen's Gambit.
He just loves Anya Taylor-Joy so much.
I know. I was thinking that as well. So he wants to play with Miles, Odo, and Jadzia. Jadzia is going to play someone who's going to try and kill the Queen of England. Odo is being asked to play someone who's going to like help Bashir stop like the murder plot. And then he like lies and is like, you know what? I'm busy. I should not have agreed to be in a mystery where I may get the girl. And I'm like, this is just foreshadowing the whole episode. And Miles is bummed because he has to play Falcon again. And if you remember, Falcon is the character he played in Our Man Bashir, where he has the eye patch. So this game is in the same... It's funny that you accidentally said Our Man Bashir earlier because I was laughing. This game is in the same universe as that game they were playing in Our Man Bashir. But they didn't do all the extra, like, 007 references because the studio got really mad at them last time. I don't remember, it was MGM, MGM or ION or whatever. So they just kind of, like, did it quietly. Like, it really was the same character, but just not as vocal with the references.
Yeah, because they got a cease and desist. They're like, a thank you, but cease and desist. And they're even like, that's even like, too, like the joke where like, Bashir's like, we know who you're playing.
Yes. And that was like the way that they like could get around saying it by being making that joke. So we do have the main story. And in this main story, there are these two guys that are coming to look for this crystal. And they know that this other guy is going to be giving it to, I don't know these people's names, these two Finians, which I guess is a species, are holding up this guy who's supposed to give this crystal to this woman, and the one accidentally kills him, and he, like, realizes, I couldn't tell if he, like, killed him on purpose or just was like, oops. I thought that was on stun and then, like, was lying, but I did enjoy the, like, I thought my phaser was on stun. The woman in question is named Arissa, and we meet her sitting at Quark's, and Quark is being, like, really annoying towards her, like, trying to sell her everything he could possibly sell to her, and she's like, I just want to drink my drink quietly, like, please leave me alone. Until Odo comes and saves the day, because apparently her directly telling Quark, like, leave me alone, isn't enough for Quark. Arissa seemed like she could handle herself with Quark, so I felt like this meet-cute was kind of very 90s.
Yeah, and it's all, like, how do I want to...
Like, Odo, like, had to come rescue her or whatever, like, that just felt unbelievable.
Well... And then, too, the whole, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Never mind.
That's all right.
It's like she thinks that Odo's also, like, coming on to her, and he's just, like, you know.
Yes.
Isn't at all. And it's like, oh, he's, like, yeah.
Yeah. So she thinks he's, like, trying to hit on her, and he's just, like, doing his job and trying to make sure no one's harassed on the station. And she also, like, does she tell him that he has, like, bedroom eyes or something?
100% she does.
And I do feel like it's cute that he, like, can't stop thinking about that. One thing I will say is, like, we find him monitoring this cargo that's coming into the station that's, like, related to the Klingons that are going to be stationed there. And that was, like, our one bit of, like... Okay, at least we'll give you some overarching plot in this episode. So, like, you know, cargo's coming on board for the Klingons.
Yeah, and the Gach is attacking Kira.
Yes, that was very silly. So Arissa is, like, caught trying to break into the security or the station's computer with some, like, she had this, like, device, which I keep forgetting what they were calling it. That was
like a digital data port.
Like a data port, yes, thank you. And she claims that she was, like, trying to find the passenger manifest since her friend never met her. I mean, we can assume that it's the friend that was vaporized. But she says to Odo at first that he's going to help me find, like, the daughter I gave up 15 years ago. And, like, because that's a delicate situation, she'd like to handle it herself. And I just keep thinking, like, if this woman was not hot, or not a woman, Odo would be like, no, it doesn't work that way. Like, but he's like, okay, sure, yeah, you can like do this. Eventually they find out that the friend's been vaporized, and Arissa just keeps trying to get into the station's computer. And this is a part that I didn't like. Odo, like, suggests strip searching her and, like, running a scan to see if she was ever pregnant, And I'm like, mm-hmm. this is gross and invasive, and I hate it.
Not
and
great,
I'm like, Bob. Most, it was not great. I can't tell if it was like, was it supposed to be funny? The reason why it's, besides the fact that it's just not a funny joke, even if stuff like this probably, like, didn't happen, I 100% believe that, like, a cop has done that for real. Like, because there's so much, I mean, obviously, you can't tell if someone was pregnant, but, like, I do feel like someone would claim to try to see if someone had sex or was pregnant previous. I mean, we live in a whole, like, society with, like, virginity culture, and people think if your hymen was broken, you must be slutty. And, like, it just is all gross and not true. Hymens break for multiple reasons that some of them have nothing to do with sex.
Come down. Your heinous highness broke her hymen. Hymen tried to break your heart. I know she broke your heart, but try to come down. That my Eve 6 popped into my head.
You're fine.
Please continue.
It just reminded me of that whole story that came out a few years ago about how T.I. used to, like, ask his daughter's doctor if her hymen was still intact when she was, like, a minor. It was fucking disgusting. Anyway, so basically it comes out that she does not have a daughter. She's been working with the Orion Syndicate, and she has info that would help her get out of that situation. And these people are just coming to get her and, like, trying to kill her. Odo decides to put her in protective custody. And so they go into, like, a quarters. And then they transport into Odo's quarters. So apparently protective custody means I'll take you to my house.
Or in the case of Clued, it's you get to stay in your apartment and I'm going to live in the shoe closet, like,
yes.
Under your brownstone. But
yes. I don't remember what the bodyguard equivalent was because it's been a minute since I've seen that, but I think he's staying at her house for most of that movie. Oh God, don't.
I think of you.
That's not even my favorite song from that movie, but it gets me.
So goodbye. Please don't cry. We both know I'm not what you need. And I will always love you. Okay, back to the podcast. Sorry.
Just to call out that my favorite song from that album is I Have Nothing.
I have nothing, nothing, nothing. If I don't have you.
That being said, the whole soundtrack fucking rules. Anyway, so yeah, so I got off track. We learn a little bit more about Orisa. She was what they call a net girl, quote unquote, meaning she sold access to her mind for money. So this guy, Dream, who I guess is an Orion Syndicate person, would, like, use her brain to get info on people he didn't like. This whole thing reminded me of Johnny Mnemonic. And, like, have you seen that movie?
I have not. It's in my shame.
Okay. So basically Johnny Mnemonic is, like, his brain is, like, a flash drive of sorts. And so there's information upload. It's like he's, like, a courier almost of information. So information gets uploaded into his mind and then downloaded elsewhere. And shit ensues because people are after that information that's in his brain.
Also, to talk about hitting noir tropes and the whole clue to the and everything else, Orisa basically is, like, doing the hooker with the heart of gold thing. Hey, mm-hmm. like, the, like, idea of, like, the yes, she's a sex worker, a formal sex worker, but, like, she's actually really, like, the idea that, like, being a sex worker usually means it's antithetical to being a good person, which is totally incorrect. But,
no,
again,
we know sex workers.
Whole,
they're lovely. They're all
yeah,
great.
Yeah, 100%. Well, speaking of which, though, it's actually, so, Dae Young, the actor who plays Orisa, is perhaps both best known as the clerk that won't let Julia Roberts shop at the store, because she's a sex worker. Julie Roberts is a sex worker. So it's probably her best known role. So speaking of the so-called hooker with a heart of gold trope, Dion's been on both sides of it.
That's funny. I do enjoy that bit where Odo is deciding whether or not to pursue Orisa, which, like, I don't think you should necessarily pursue the person that's, like, you're protecting, but also, what if it's hot? And so he pops into the Hollow Suite to, like, have a little conference with Bashir, and I just found that to be really funny and out of character for Odo, actually. And I think it's funny that Bashir was, like, the person he went to.
Well, and it's funny, like, she was like, you didn't stop my program to talk to me about women, did you? And then there's this look on Otis' face, he's like, oh, bedroom eyes. And it's like awkward. It's like, wait, how do you know what?
It's great. So after that meeting, Odo's like trying to tell Orisa how he feels or that he's interested, and he just kisses her. And then I guess they're just like in bed later. And this is the part that I had, like, a hard time with, when, like, he's telling her how this is his first time, and she's like, I couldn't tell. Like, that part felt, like, very intimate. And, I mean, it, don't get me wrong, like, it was cute. But I also, it made me just feel like I was, like, watching a very private moment for someone that I know personally, you know what I mean? But I do have some questions about Odo having sex. Do you think he makes himself have a huge dick? And do you think he can change the shape of his dick to, like, fit in, like, wherever that is of interest? Like, basically, do I want to have sex with a changeling is where I got from these thoughts.
Well, I mean, I think a sensitive, caring lover like Odo would ask about, like, preferences and then do his best to accommodate, right? Like, maybe you know, because Odo's gender is fluid.
Yeah,
get it, because he's liquid.
I got it. His gender is goo.
Yeah, right. No, but, like, obviously being, you know, more mask presenting or whatever, it's like,
yeah,
who knows, maybe he didn't make a penis, maybe he had a nice, like, you know, he had a nice boy vagina that he was doing.
Where he made, like, and, a little, you know, like, satisfier suction clit thing.
Yeah. Who, like, the possibilities are endless. fanfic writers, have at it.
I'm sure that there's plenty out there about this exact moment and Odo having sex with anyone. Did you want to make your one comment before I go forward?
Yeah. It's the interesting thing about this episode is, like, again, knowing that exists because of the aforementioned training card and everything else like that, I always misremember that this didn't happen when he was solid, right? It's like talking about the other, where the possibilities wouldn't have been so endless in terms of, like, you know, what being fully functional in multiple techniques would, to quote Data, would exist for Odo. But yeah, like, apparently the original plan when they had this idea of, like, you know, Odo's first intimacy, end quotes, existing was when he was still a solid, and it kind of, for whatever reason, didn't happen. And so by the time on the schedule, you know, in the season to do this storyline, he was already a shapeshifter again. Which I think it was Ronald Moore who was, like, kind of not defanged it, but, like, the episode didn't hit as much the same way as, like, they had intended when they were talking about the, like, original concept or idea, right?
Yeah, for sure. I wonder how that would have felt or been, not felt, I don't mean, like, I wonder how Odo would have felt with a real penis. That's not what I meant. Like, I wonder how that would have gone.
Well, they had even started laying track for that. I can't remember the character's name, but, like, a while ago, there's that new, like, Bajoran, like, shopkeeper. Was she, like, a dressmaker?
Oh, yeah. Or something was she, like that? I think she was making jewelry, maybe.
Yeah. No, anyway, she was, like, definitely dresses. Flirting with Odo.
It was, like, a boutique, right? Type of sitch. They probably had dresses and jewelry.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, she was definitely, like, flirting with him or whatever. So yeah, that was the original plan. That. And plans change.
So this is where the plot turns into the movie Argylle. Orisa is not... So, like, someone from Orisa's, like, species comes. I don't know. They're... I forget what their species is, honestly.
The Cobra Seth Hoods.
Is, like, Anidian or Iridian or... I don't know, something.
Yeah.
Orisa is really an undercover agent for her government, and the crystal everyone's been after is her former memories. Spoilers for Argyle, kind of, I guess. And those two Finians are, like, going to kill her because they don't... Because Dream wants them to. Because they're going to use the information she has on the Orion Syndicate to prosecute Dream.
Yeah. Yeah, and we do learn... It's like... Sorry, go ahead.
No, you first.
I was going to say, it's the actual sort of thing of, like, you know, when the Obsidian Order tried to convince Kira that, like, she had her memories erased and was really Teki Gamora's, like, daughter when mm-hmm. she wasn't Elena Gamora, but yes. This is actually that, right? So
yes.
Orisa has no idea she's really, like, the non-human and yes. not, you know...
She doesn't realize
she's doesn't know not she's really... lied to Odo, or hasn't lied, but, like, yeah. has false memories and a whole other race and identity, right?
So, yeah, and the reason they do this is because... They want to be able to fool telepaths that the Orion yeah. Syndicate might be using to, like, read people's minds to find out what people's true intentions are. And we do find out that she volunteered for this mission and has been undercover for 2 years. Odo is rightfully confused about how to feel about all of this because I can imagine feeling like I had sex with someone that doesn't really exist. And yeah. I don't think that that's necessarily even true because... They existed, and based on what their memories were at the time, they were doing what they wanted, and what they wanted was to have sex with Odo, you know? Mm-hmm, but I still mm-hmm, can imagine mm-hmm. it feeling like maybe he thought, like, they could have something more long-term, but obviously they can't because she's actually married to someone else. And I guess not open. But also, yeah. when she gets all her memories back, we don't know what she's going to be interested in. I didn't really have anything else to say about this. Do you?
There's a, like, another version of this episode that does the, like, twist earlier that then has an interesting exploration of, like, identity and what that means and doesn't mean. They kind of allude to that kind of in that last scene where new Orisa or what, I don't know. I think, is her name different? I don't remember.
I think her name is different, yes.
Yeah, when she's talking about Orisa, it's like, no, Orisa really loved you and blah, 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 and, like, yeah.
Yes, yes.
And it's like, oh, it's like, no, I fell in love with someone who didn't exist. And it's like, well, she did, though, right? Like,
anyways, I do feel a little bit much. I do feel a little bit like when, I mean, it kind of, I don't think this is the intention, but I think of when whatever her name is now says, you know, Orisa really did, like, have feelings. I do feel like if I were Odo, I'd be like, okay, that's just salt in the wound. But
salt in the wound.
Yeah, thank you. This was my intention.
You just knew that I was in, like...
I knew yeah. you would start you singing knew, Boy Genius.
Yeah. You just knew Matt was in, like, oh, that's the song lyric I know. Blah! Mode.
Yep. 100% that I orchestrated that just now.
Well, you know what they say about podcasting. It's just me and my dog in an impossible view. All right. Well, Elise, is there anything else you wanted to say about the episode before we move on to our regularly scheduled segments?
No. I just really, I did like how excited Jadzia was to kill the Queen of England in the Holosuite game.
She was equally excited to be a royal assassin as she was telling everyone in the office that Odo was late because he banged.
Yup.
Oh, Jadzia. Never stop Jadziaing. Speaking of Jadzia, now it's time for the Altair Water Thirst Quencher. Altair Water first being mentioned by Dr. Leonard McCoy in Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. Also a possible reference to Alta from Altair 4 in the hit MGM film Forbidden Planet. Elise, who are you thirsting for this week?
I am still thirsting for Odo's first intimacy. Like, even though I felt like I was shouldn't have been watching it. Like, I was, like, trying to self-censor. It was still hot. And, like, I did like that she was attracted to him and said he had bedroom eyes and then was like, I couldn't tell it was your first time.
Well, and even the bedroom talk conversation, she's like, didn't you have a ridge in your nose, a little bump here in your nose last time? And we learned that Odo changes his face up every day, but keeps the eyes consistent and the forehead scowl.
That's cute.
My altar water thirst quencher is Arissa's hot. Like, she's super hot. And, like, yeah, I dig her whole vibe. I'm cliche, but, like, part of me was like, oh, possible, like, talking points of this episode. It's like, well, you know, Renee's, like, in his mid to late 40s here, like, pushing, like, 50. And I looked it up, and DeYoung was, like, you know, 42. So I'm like, is it worth talking about? It's nice to see, like, a romance with not 20-somethings and people of a certain age. And I'm like,
yes.
Wait, no, she's only 42. Fuck, they're, like, our age. I can't say that.
Anyways,
Elise, now it's time for the most Star Trek thing. What's your nominee for the most Star Trek thing about the episode?
Jadzia being a gossip.
Yeah,
just that.
Yeah, similar.
Love it.
Similarly, it's the one and done romance. You know, like the monster of the week or the romance of the week, I guess we could have called it. And then you had looked up a quote from Ira that's in the Deep Space Nine Companion, where you said, quote, I think we do crappy romances, but in terms of romantic shows, this wasn't a bad one. And I agree with him. I think there was, because of those moments you talked about where it felt uncomfortable and it was, you know, incredibly intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt real in a lot of ways that Star Trek romance episodes
That's why I felt like I was watching something so private. Like, if it...
Yeah.
Like, when I watch, like, Beverly Hills 90210, and there's, like, a lot of romance and sex in that show, especially as they get older, I've never once felt like, okay, this is... I felt like, oh, my God, this is cringy because they're saying stupid shit, but I've never felt like, oh, no, I shouldn't be watching this because it feels too private. And it's because this show, like, doesn't do this very often.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Elise. Until next time, where can folks find more of you on the internet?
You can find me on Blue Sky, Letterboxd, and Storygraph at Chicken Tendi. That's T-E-N-D-I. You can find links to my other podcast, Fang Bangers Pod, on Blue Sky and Instagram at Fang Bangers Pod. That's bangers with a Z or Z. And you?
Yeah, I can catch me on Blue Sky and Letterboxd at Matty Hugh, M-A-T-T-Y-H-U-G-H. You can catch us together on Blue Sky and Instagram at PodRace. And you can also email us at podrace@gmail.com.
Please remember to rate and review us on the podcatching system of your choice. Thank you again to our editor, Melissa, and to DJ Empirical for our interstellar theme song.
And until next time, computer and program.
Bye.